This is Hart's Plan versus City of Gary. Mr. Falk.
May it please the court. In 2001, the Church of the American Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, through its Indiana Grand Dragon, Gene Null, made a number of requests to rally in front of Gary City Hall, seeking a permit for that rally. In direct response, the mayor of Gary issued two executive orders, which controlled the right of any individual or groups that wished to parade on the streets of Gary or rally on any ground abutting the streets. The first of these executive orders, issued in January of 2001, required for the first time that all applications be made prior to 45 days of the scheduled event. Previous to this, there were no such time requirements, and Gary had been quite proficient in processing applications for very large groups in very short periods of time.
And how many marchers were anticipated?
I believe the original permit indicated approximately 50.
50?
Yes. Based on this new executive order, the American Knights were told they had to wait for the 45-day period. In April of 2001, the mayor introduced a new executive order, which allows the City of Gary to assess a fee against an applicant based on its determination that the group, or individuals in the group, or individuals who might show up and be associated with the group, have a prior history of violence, which has caused, or would cause, or threatened to cause...
What was the date of that first order, the 45-day?
January 18th, Your Honor. And Ms. Null had begun...
Also 2001.
Ms. Null had begun a series of requests in early January of that year. The second date is April 3rd of 2001. Once the determination was made under the second order that this group had this history of violence, or its members did, Gary reserved...
We just got this letter... from your opponent, in which they refer to this recent Supreme Court case.
Yes, sir.
About the cross-burning and the history of violence by the Ku Klux Klan. I understand. Does the Ku Klux Klan have some kind of national or international organization of which this, of which your client is a component or affiliated?
No, Your Honor.
I mean, this sounds ridiculous, I know, but is the name Ku Klux Klan trademarked?
No, Your Honor, it's not a ridiculous...
So anyone could set up as a Ku Klux Klan...
Yes, Your Honor. This organization, the Church of the American Knights, was founded approximately 7 years ago at the time of the case, or 9 years ago now, by Jeff Berry, who had broken away from David Duke's group and specifically disavowed violence. And I think the recent Supreme Court case actually supports our argument here, because in that case the court said, despite the history of the Klan, when you focus on the current activity of someone today, you have to determine whether that person has a First Amendment interest to do what they do. You can't make a broad generalization. You can't say, in the Supreme Court case, for instance, that cross-burning is always meant to intimidate. You have to give these people the right to exercise their First Amendment rights, and then if they go too far, you arrest them, which of course is the problem with the second order here. The second order that the mayor introduced was to say, look, if I think, and the mayor ended up saying through my life experience, that this is a dangerous group or has dangerous people coming into it, I'm going to say, in order to show up in Gary, you have to pay up front for us to protect Gary from you. Now, as a factual matter, that's a problem in this case, because the state police had done a survey which said the risk of violence from this group is very low. It's low, excuse me. That the risk came from counter-demonstrators. But as a First Amendment matter on its face, this is a ridiculous assertion on the part of the mayor. The executive order is vague, it's a clear prior restraint, and it's not a reasonable time, place, and manner restriction. The trial court
seems that order, I guess it's that one, yeah, the April 3rd order, is just to tiptoe around the obvious. There's no regard shall be given to the number of people who may be anticipated in the vicinity of the event as counter-demonstrators, nor shall the content of any message. That's obviously, they're saying that because you can't have your order based on that. But that, to me, it just, obvious. That's why you have to have all the police.
Well, of course. And
so how do we get around it? I think this is just a major dilemma.
I think what the courts have said, and the Supreme Court and this court back in the Collin case in 1972 has said, look, you have the right to appear. You have your First Amendment right. If you abuse that right, you can be arrested. But you can't say beforehand, we think you might behave badly, and therefore we're going to, in this case, arrest a fee so high that it prohibits you from speaking. I understand that this court has instructed us to look at permit requirements as time, place, and manner restrictions. But this is more than that. This is predicting your speech based on past violence, and that's a classic prior restraint.
What seems, though, that's just a ruse, because they can't say the reason you need all these cops is because of the people you hope to attract to hate you.
Yes, Sean, it's a clear ruse, and in fact, if you look at the history here, every time the Klan came back to Gary, they came up with a new reason to discourage them from appearing, which is, of course, the trial court didn't get to any of this because the trial court said this matter is moot, not because the Klan is no longer a viable organization. The American Knights are no longer a viable organization.
But with regard to that, there wouldn't be any purpose, would there be, in remanding for a factual hearing? Are there any interesting facts that might be obtained?
No, Your Honor. In this case, both sides agreed that there were uncontested facts. It's a pure question. The Jean Mel, the Grand Dragon, is still out there. She still leads the Indiana organization. She's still ready, willing, and able to mount a rally if she's able to do so. The problem, of course, is she can't. She can't appear anywhere in Gary. And this isn't just
if she doesn't have the $5,000.
Exactly. And if she wants to appear, she has to wait the 45 days. And nothing's going to change. We can go back, and there's nothing more to litigate. We have the pending summary judgment that was pending for a year. I had filed for the American Knights in September of 2001, and I believe in September 2002 is when the judge dismissed the case on mootness grounds. It clearly is not moot, and we have this ordinance out there, and it just doesn't affect the American Knights. The problem, of course, is Gary says, look, we can look not only at you, American Knights, you've been around for 7 years, you haven't been violent, but we'll look back to your historical antecedents, or we'll look at who we think will show up. Well, how does that play, Your Honor, for other groups? How does it play, for instance, if it's a right-to-life group, a nonviolent movement that may have a few adherents who advocate violence against abortionists? Can Gary then say, hey, we're going to assess a fee because someone might show up who is violent? This is, it's utterly standardless. And it is not a reasonable time, place, and manner. The first thing we look at to see if something is content neutral is whether it gives unbridled discretion. 50,000 Girl Scouts can march in Gary. I don't know why they would, but they could march in Gary and cause untold disruption, not through violence, but just because they shut the city down. Absolutely no fee.
Well, there's no fee?
No fee because they're not a dangerous group.
Well,
could there be?
Could they be a dangerous fee? There could be a neutral fee. I think this court is quite clear.
Well, for
in Thomas, if you're shutting down the streets and you're assessing a fee based on traffic control, but that's not what Gary has done here. The problem with Gary is that they let, for instance, to use an actual example, they let a rally of a 50,000 person water show. Permit was approved September 13th of 2000. The event was September 16th. 50,000 people.
I see. So
no
this fee.
Fee
is not a surcharge.
No.
It's the only fee.
It is the only fee.
So other people can march around for nothing.
Yes. The best the record discloses, the only organization that's ever been assessed this fee is the Church of the American Knights of the Ku Klux Klan.
Could there be a fee structure set up that would, I don't want to call it a ruse, but say everything they do is for whatever is allowed, traffic control and all that sort of thing. You keep some sort of order. So can they base it on numbers of people who are participating, or how could it be?
They could base it on numbers and a place. I mean, 50 people in a park is different than 50 people marching down a street, because the latter will cause closures of streets. But that's not what Gary has done. What Gary has said is, we are going to try and divine whether you will be dangerous. and defines you very broadly. And once we make that, once we define that, you're going to be assessed a fee. Everyone else, $50,000 or more, no fee. And that's clearly unconstitutional. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Fall. Mr. Meyer?
Good morning, Honorable Court. My name is Jim Meyer, and I represent the City of Gary in this case. As a slight addition to the history of the facts in the case that Mr. Falk gave, I would add that in March of 2001, the Klan actually did rally in Gary. And so they have never been prohibited from rallying. So we are not talking about a situation where the city has actually said, we're not going to let you rally because you're violent.
Did they pay a fee then?
No, they didn't. The regulation was not in effect at the time that the 45-day one was, but not the...
So they gave 45 days notice, but they didn't have to pay.
Correct.
What's the purpose of the... What do you do in the 45 days? I don't understand. Especially for a small group like this, 50 people, what preparations would require 45 days?
As detailed by in the deposition of Officer Rollins from the Indiana State Police, the fact that whether it's five people or one person, if Reverend Berry showed up by himself, the difficulty with a Klan rally in the city of Gary is not the individual.
No, we're talking about something different. We're talking, the 45-day rule is for everybody, isn't it?
Correct, yes it is.
But forget about the Ku Klux Klan. Suppose it's some innocuous group. What is the purpose of, what do you need to do for 45 days in order to get ready for a march of 10 people? I don't get it.
We don't. But in order to remain facially neutral...
Oh, no, come on. That's absurd. You can't impose it. I mean, what you're saying is, this is one of the most bald-faced confessions of unconstitutionality I've ever heard. What you're saying is, you need the 45-day rule to deal with the Ku Klux Klan, but to make us think that it's not aimed at the Ku Klux Klan, you're going to apply it to the Girl Scouts as well, even though it's completely irrational, it's applied to them.
No, what we're saying is that we need the cases to say that we cannot apply a different rule to the Girl Scouts than we do to the Ku Klux Klan.
Of course you can, and you do. That's your fee rule. Right?
The fee rule doesn't just apply to the Klan.
It applies to any violent group, and your 45-day rule, presumably, is also aimed at any violent group. But you apply that across the board. You don't apply the fee across the board.
We apply the fee across the board to any violent group.
Well, why don't you apply the 45-day rule to a violent group, since it has no rational application to a nonviolent group?
Yes, it does. The requirement is based upon how much time it takes to prepare because of their message, not because of their violence. It takes 45 days.
Wait a second. So the 45-day rule is for organizations that, that present an unpopular message and so require more police protection.
Right. We have to organize 250 police officers from various departments and every place else to show up as an armed camp, which in effect is what occurs when this type of demonstration happens. And since that's required, if we say, well, we don't need to do that for an order of nuns...
Well, okay, now let's transfer this to the fee requirement. If 100,000 Girl Scouts want to march through Gary, you have to provide a massive presence in public safety resources, ambulances, police, fire, blocking streets, all this stuff. It's going to cost you much, much more than to deal with 50 Ku Kluxers, and yet you don't charge anything for that.
That's
completely discriminatory.
But it's, number one, I would disagree with you that it costs a lot more.
Come on! Of course it would cost. How many police are you going to need? Forget about protecting the Ku Klux Klan from their enemies, because that's terminella. You can't charge them for that. but just to prevent these 50 people from going crazy and assaulting passersby or something, how many police officers are you going to need?
I agree with you.
Two?
If we
have 100,000 Girl Scouts, it's going to be a huge disruption of the public services of Gary.
And yet you
charge them nothing.
If you ignore the necessity of the city to protect the Klan, costs related to that, from the mob that wants...
You can't charge for that.
I agree.
So you forget about that. The only question is that public services required to prevent the Klan from going wild on their march versus the public services that you have to deploy when there's a peaceful but much larger group.
In other words,
the police resources and other public safety resources are primarily a function of the size of the demonstration, not the message. That's a minor fact.
I would disagree, having been involved in this, Your Honor. The message and the attitude of the people who show up for the event have a lot more to do with the number of
people. Oh, now please, because now what you're saying is it's going to cost you $4,900 or $4,500 in extra police resources to deal with this march. How much extra would it cost you to deal with a large, peaceful march of Girl Scouts? Nothing?
No,
zero?
Probably somewhere in the name of in the area of 15,000, 20,000.
Right, and you don't charge for that.
No, we don't.
Discrimination.
No, because the basis, it may be discrimination, but it's not based on an illicit motive for discrimination. The motive for discrimination is based on violence.
No, it's not
the
motive, but it's irrational, because time, place, and manner restrictions are supposed to represent the real, neutral, non-ideological interests of the city. Now, if the city decides that it wants to charge people for the extra public services that demonstrations impose on the city, it can do so, but it has to do so in a way that really reflects its concern with economizing on its resources.
And this does. The rational basis of the assessment of risk.
Because the peaceful demonstrations are going to require expensive public services, as you just said, $15,000 to $20,000, but you don't charge for that.
That's true, but there is no requirement, as I understand the law, to charge for that type of
charge just to people you don't like.
We're not charging just to people we don't like. We have demonstrations by a lot of people we may not like. The point is we have assessed a risk. Now, if this court is indicating that...
No, the risk, you haven't assessed a risk. You've assessed a need for extra police services.
Because of the risk of harm to our citizens.
But these harmless groups also create, call it a risk, a need for additional police services. The cost to the city of deploying extra police is the same whether the nature of the need is some threat of violence or the nature of the need is just the sheer number of people involved.
You're talking about the actual dollar amount. That
right.
may be true, but the basis for having to spend...
No, but the basis for a neutral time, place, and manner restriction is that the city will incur certain costs as a result of people exercising their First Amendment rights. And as long as the city just focuses on the cost to itself of dealing with those people, it's not regarded as a violation of the First Amendment. But you can take the position that you'll give free extra police resources for the innocuous groups, but the group that has the potential for violence, you're going to charge them extra.
I don't believe there's any restriction on the assessing a fee against someone, not because of their speech or because of their message, but because of their propensity for violence.
No, but that's not what you're doing. You're assessing a fee because it's going to cost you additional police resources.
Correct.
This is not a fine for being violent. This is a cost of additional police resources. Well, these peaceful groups, these innocuous groups, impose identical or usually larger costs on your police department, but you don't charge anything to those people.
That's true. Just like we don't charge for protecting the Ku Klux Klan from the hecklers and the people who demonstrate against them.
But you say you don't, which you have to. You have to say the reason we have to charge this fee and have all these police is to protect our citizens from this violent group, even though there are only 50 of them. And you know you have to say that because if you say it the way it's really the real problem, it's unconstitutional.
No.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You can't say the reason we need 250 police is because the Ku Klux Klan, whether there's 10 or 20 of them, incite a lot of hate and people watching, and there's liable to be violence unless we have...
We need those 250 for that purpose. We only need 20, and that's the only part we're charging for is the 20 that we are using to protect the citizens from the Ku Klux Klan.
So it costs a lot more than that, than the fire.
Oh, it costs, yeah, 250 police officers with riot gear, police dogs, helicopters. Now you're talking $100,000.
And that fee is just phenomenal by comparison to what it really costs.
Correct. This fee is solely related to the expense the city incurs because this particular group of individuals, as a result of police investigation, have assessed a risk
and so by
harm to the public.
But we have, then you have at least a fee that might be enough of a deterrent where they wouldn't show up.
That would depend on...
Well, that's the obvious purpose. I mean, how naive do you think we are?
Well, I don't think
you're trying to prevent them from marching and carrying.
No, we're trying to not impose upon us.
And the other thing is, this fee is completely arbitrary. How can you can't make any prediction as to what sort of violence this group will engage in and how many police it'll take to prevent it.
You can make a security assessment by police officers who are experts in the field as to how much security you have to provide to prevent 10, 20, or 50 people to cause a problem. That's done every day. I mean, I couldn't do it, but a chief of police has to deal with that situation all the time. You know, Secret Service deals with it all the time. These are professionals in this field who make this assessment, and I would differ with the court on the position that they can't do that. They not only can, they have to. If we were on the flip side of this and somebody got hurt and they came to this court or the state court and said they did not exercise reasonable care in protecting me from these bad people.
If there were, but yes, but continuing along that line, if there's a real threat of violence, they wouldn't grant a permit.
Well, we cannot withhold a permit on the basis that these folks are advocating theories
but you can charge them a fee.
I can charge them a fee for protecting others against them. We cannot charge them a fee for voicing their opinion.
No, but if you think they're going to commit violent acts, why do you grant them a permit? There's no right to,
because that would be the difference between a prior restraint
No, it wouldn't, because charging them in advance is a prior restraint.
Well, I think, in fact, the opinion you authored, which was approved by the Supreme Court, indicated that if, on its face, the statute or the rule is neutral, then it is not a prior restraint. And in this particular case, this rule applies to anybody and everybody.
There are permissible prior restraints. So, but the difference between arresting people and charging them a fee that they can't pay is... It doesn't have anything to do with one being prior and one being posterior. They're both restrictions that are imposed before you can exercise your First Amendment rights. Now my question is, if you really fear violence from these people, you either prosecute them as a criminal conspiracy, or at the very least, you deny them a permit.
That would be an option if in fact we could prove that there was going to be violence for sure. I mean, you have to have the imminent threat. This method that we are using is going back from that thing. We have to assess a risk. We have to protect the health and safety of our citizens. We have to assess the risk as to how much police officers we have to have on site. And in this case, how much we have to have on site to protect the health, safety, and welfare of our citizens.
We have to make a reasonable judgment. If we don't, we're going to be in violation of the law and we can be held liable, and that there is no First Amendment reason to require us to spend additional money because these folks happen to be violent, as opposed to anybody else who's not.
To be violent.
I apologize.
You don't have any reason to think they happen to, that they you're not violent. You predict that they will, that this march will be violent.
We predict it to be violent because the opposition, number one, is going to be more dangerous now, but we also predict based on
now, wait a
people
second.
Here.
You're not allowed to consider that. Your point is, you call these violent people, these Ku Klux.
Yes.
But the basis for this fine, for this fee, is not that they are in fact violent, but that you predict that they're going to be violent.
No, it's based on the fact that we believe there is an unreasonable risk that they will be or could be violent, and that if we don't protect them from that unreasonable risk...
What's an unreasonable risk?
Well, what's reasonable under the circumstances? That the term reasonable is the reasonable man. What is reasonable under the circumstances?
What's the reason for thinking these people are going to be violent?
Well, because of their prior history. The police conducted
their prior history.
Mr. Berry?
Or are you going to go back to, you know, the Reconstruction? Well, you said us this Supreme Court decision. Do you believe that the history of the Ku Klux Klan in general is that the basis on which you're predicting this group will be violent?
No.
What's the basis for predicting this?
The basis
group
of predicting this is laid out in the affidavit.
Well, what is it? In a word.
I can't do it in a word because they looked at a lot of sources, which any good police investigation does.
Has this group in the past engaged in violent acts?
Members of the people anticipated to appear in the past had, in fact, not only engaged in, but had been convicted of violent acts. Reverend Berry himself is in prison right now.
Acts in the course of demonstrations?
There had been, yes. Now, you know, the difficulty is, of course, under the law, we can't make them turn over a list of their prospective attendees. So we can only go to, in a situation like this, by talking to other police departments, other specialists in the field, to find out who's likely to show up and what their tendencies are likely to be. It would be extremely gallant on our part not to do that. If we said, oh, no problem, so Ku Klux Klan's coming to a city that's 85% African-American, and they're going to spout off a bunch of racial hatred, we don't have to do anything.
That's, again, back to Judge Mannion's point. That's your concern. The concern is that the black people in Gary will be outraged by this march. It's not that 50... How many people are there in Gary? What's the population?
110,000. If you only count the citizens. When you have these events, they come from all over.
What is the population of Gary?
110,000.
110,000.
Approximately.
Okay, so 100,000, roughly, or 95,000 are black. Now, are these 50 Ku Kluxers going to attack the 95,000 blacks? Is that what you're worried about?
I'm worried about that they will get into a fisticuff violent action, which they attempted to do when we had the rally, with the people who show up.
Well, who will initiate this fighting?
Who will?
These 50 will go charging into the...
If they're not prevented from doing so, they will engage in violent conduct.
They will attack the...
Yes.
That's what you're worried about.
I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about property destruction that they will engage in.
Well,
provided the opportunity.
If they start throwing stones or something?
Well, damaging property, injuring people. But they're given the least opportunity to justify their violent conduct against the people they loathe, who they don't even consider to be human. They take that opportunity. I mean, that has been demonstrated for a long time. The only purpose of the Virginia case is to point out that they repeatedly change their name. It's like you and I change our suit. One day it's American Knights, another day it's another church, but it's always the Ku Klux Klan.
Well, that's what you really believe.
I really believe that this Ku Klux Klan unit, which may change its name or may not, operates on the same theories, on the same beliefs, and the same principles that the Ku Klux Klan has for as long as it's been around. And they advocate the same principles.
150 years.
Well, they're still here.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Mr. Meyer.
Thank you, Judge.
Mr. Falk, how much time does he have?
clarify them.
Thank you. The Indiana State Police did a risk assessment and said the risk of the Church of the American Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, their risk for violence is low. The Gary did its risk assessment and looked at the criminal histories of six people. Some of them were not even members. One of them, Jeff Berry, wasn't at the earlier demonstration. Of those six people, a number had arrests, a number had some convictions. The only conviction involving the Church of American Knights was something that Reverend Berry had 6 years, 8 years ago now, which dealt with a misdemeanor that occurred after a demonstration when he was attacked by counter-demonstrators. That's not really the point. The point, as the court pointed out, and as Gary itself concedes in its ordinance, Gary has a parade ordinance with all these executive orders amended. The parade ordinance specifically says, and it's at our appendix document 3, if the parade, procession, or open-air meeting is not to be held for any unlawful purpose and will not in any manner tend to a breach of peace or unnecessarily interfere, a permit will be issued. Gary didn't say that. Gary did not say, we think you are an illegal organization, because the Church of American Knights is not. We think you're going to create violence and we're denying you a permit. Gary, as the court pointed out, set up a barrier to prevent it from appearing, and then therefore is now saying the reason we did that is because we think there is this risk of violence. It found a criminal history of six people. And the criminal history, I should add, included arrests. The mayor of Gary said he could look at arrests, he could look at convictions, he could look at their literature, he could look at provocative acts. The one violent, quote-unquote violent act that occurred during the March demonstration was when a Klan supporter, not a member, ran towards the police barricade and shook his fist. And the mayor said, well, I can look at that too. That's violence. And all this, the mayor said, is filtered through my life experience to determine if this is a violent group.
Suppose, Mr. Falk, this particular group, not some other Ku Klux Klan, but your client, had been in Gary before.
Yes.
And there had been a problem.
Yes.
And there had been some activity by your group, not by the opponents.
Yes.
And it had cost X amount of dollars.
Yes.
For the city to take care of that. Suppose we had that evidence. Mm-hmm. I know we don't. Could the city then charge your client or require your client to post a bond or something of that nature in order to hold a second rally?
Your Honor, that's the Collin case. This court's case in 1972. Collin was the head of the American Nazi Party.
Yeah.
There was evidence that at previous demonstrations in the previous year there had been violence, and this court specifically said no. That we are not going to allow current speech to be prohibited because of past violence. Now, if Gary wants to erect an insurance structure so that the 50,000 Girl Scouts have to pay insurance to measure with what 50,000 people cause, and the 50 people, Klan members, have to pay, that's one thing. The insurance, liability insurance was approved, I believe, by this court in the Thomas case.
Of course, that would vary considerably according to what the insurance company considered the risk.
Well, it would have to be based on neutral factors. It would have to be based on crowd control and things like that.
But they would take, can an insurance company take into consideration things that the city couldn't? For instance, the city says, well, the bond for the Ku Klux Klan is going to be $500,000.
Sure.
Dollars.
No, because that would not be the insurance company speaking. That would be the city saying, we are burdening your First Amendment rights in a way different than 50 other persons. I should also note, just from the timeline, what happened in this case was after Ms. Null applied a couple of times, we had the 45-day limit, the American Knights said, fine, we'll do it. Gary asked that they move away from the city hall to the stadium outside of Gary. That was the rally in March. It wasn't satisfactory from the American Knights' point of view because it was removed from the city. That's when they came back and said, hey, we'd like to go downtown now. And that's when Gary said, fine, you can go downtown, but now you have to pay $5,000. There weren't any arrests at that March rally. I should strike that. There was one arrest of a counter-demonstrator. The only violent act at that March rally was, as I said, the demonstrator running towards the barricade and raising his fist, and that is the only thing that occurred. What Gary has done here is clearly unconstitutional with regard to the fee. I should also point out, as to the 45-day limit, if I and three other people had wanted to demonstrate against the war in Iraq in Gary, I would have missed the war because I would have had to have a 45-day time frame before Gary could get back to me, and by then the war would be over. And I think that really, that illustrates very well how how unconstitutional that requirement is as well.
This is a question. Now, well, didn't this group schedule a rally in July 2002?
Yes.
In Butler?
Butler, Indiana.
Butler, Indiana.
It scheduled, the affidavit from Ms. Null said that she was scheduling a two-day rally, I believe, on July 5th and 6th of 2002.
Was that ever held?
It's outside the record, but I have spoken with Ms. Null, and yes, it was held.
You did it on a farm or something, though, right?
The organization is located there. I have never been there, Your Honor, so I'm not sure exactly what.
And this was after Barry had been removed.
If Barry was, his sentencing, I believe, was in December of 2001.
So, in other words, Null actually was able to organize a demonstration of
some. That is what I was informing. Again, I apologize. That is obviously outside the record.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Falk, and thank you to Mr. Meyer.